So just out of curiosity, how many people here have never died? Raise your hand. Okay. All right, me too. Phew! So far, we have survived everything. It's pretty amazing. Put that on your resume. I did have a close call this one time. I went to the Grand Canyon, and when I got there, I saw it was late in the evening. I'm tired from that dancing. But I saw there was going to be this hike. It was a sunset hike guided by one of the park rangers, and I thought, oh, this would be a good place to see the sunset. Probably a beautiful introduction to my first time seeing the Grand Canyon. So I drive down to the trailhead, and I'm waiting around, and we're waiting for the park ranger, and about 20 of us there, and this person comes up, all dressed in brown. Turns out it was a UPS person, but no, I'm just kidding. It was the park ranger. And so we're on this hike, and I see this guy that looks like a guy I went to high school with. And I said, there's no way. I mean, we're several thousand miles from home. What are the chances? I haven't seen him in years. He probably doesn't even look like that anymore. And then I heard him talking to his buddies. I was like, it sounds like my buddy Andy Meese. This is amazing. He was wearing a Notre Dame hat, and we're from Indiana, but, okay, that doesn't matter. It's my story. But he didn't go to Notre Dame. In fact, he went to one of the rival schools, another engineering school in Indiana, private school, and he wasn't Catholic, so it just confused me even more, you know? And finally, I just thought, I'm just going to ask. And if it's Andy Meese, it'll be awesome. And if not, it'll be super awkward, but I will never see this person again in my life, so it doesn't matter. So I walk up to him, and I said, Andy Meese, you know, like his name with a question mark. And he just gives me this odd look, like, and I don't know if that means, how do you know my name is Andy Meese, because I don't recognize you, or my name is not Andy Meese, why are you calling me that? And I should say that over the course since we graduated from high school, and I haven't seen him, I was clean cut, clean shaven, and now I've got long hair past my shoulders and a beard that you can hide small children in. And so he would have a good reason for not recognizing me. So I said, Kyle Hyman. There's no way, Kyle. It was Andy Meese. So we hung out. I got to hang out with him and his buddies, and they told me about this hike that I should check out the next morning. They had went out the day before, and they were going to move on to the next park. And we get up in the morning, and we pack up the tent and everything like that. We had a delicious breakfast of Pop-Tarts. And you guys will clap at anything. It's like, elbows! Okay. Gotta watch what I say. This will take forever. So I get to a late start, and I'm hiking down into the Grand Canyon. And I should have started like at 5 or 6 a.m. because getting started around 10 a.m. is not recommended in the summer in the Grand Canyon, which is the desert. And as you go into the Grand Canyon, it gets hotter as you descend in elevation. And also, once you get to your destination, the hardest part is yet to come because you hike back out. The easy part is going down. So I get to my destination, which was Horseshoe Mesa. It's in the middle of Grand Canyon. And it's amazing because I walk out there, and you can look halfway down and halfway up and halfway across both sides, and it gives you a completely different perspective of the Grand Canyon. It's amazing. And I take a drink from my little backpack water supply, and it goes, I was out of water. And now it's the heat of the day, in the desert, in the Grand Canyon, I have no water, and I've got to hike back up. I passed two people on the way down. I wouldn't pass anybody on the way back up. So there's no help. And it's out, it's like 20 miles from the park entrance. And so I'm walking, and my mouth is getting drier and drier and drier as I go out. And I get to a point where I think, I don't know if I can continue, because I'm stopping like every 5 minutes to rest. And eventually I lay down. It's like, I don't even know if I can get up. And I start thinking, like, this is where I'm going to die. And so I start doing this, like, examination of conscience. I'm like, you know, giving myself last rites, which I don't know if that's legal or not. But basically, I'm asking God, you know, forgive me for these sins. And if I die here, please take me into heaven, or at least purgatory, you know. And if you don't want me to die here, I'm going to need some help. And just then, this breeze comes, and I just get chills. And I never felt a breeze before that. I never felt it after. I don't know if I just imagined it. I don't know what it was. But I had this strength to get out of the Grand Canyon. And I'd walk like 15 feet, and I'd have to take a break. But eventually, I didn't die in the Grand Canyon. Spoiler alert. Yeah. I'm a survivor. But I read a statistic that 90-some percent of people that go to the Grand Canyon don't actually ever hike into the Grand Canyon. They just go up to the edge. They call it the rim of the Grand Canyon. There's trails all along. There's lookouts. It's beautiful. It's awesome. But from experience, I can tell you, looking at the edge, you can take pretty pictures. They look like postcards. And it's, oh, look at it. It's so huge. It doesn't compare, though, to the perspective that you get when you hike down into the Grand Canyon. And our faith is the same way. There's so many people, so many Catholics, so many Christians that want to do the bare minimum. They just are coming to the edge. What do I need to do to be a good Catholic? Or what do I need to do to be able to call myself a Catholic even? And you can see the beauty of the church by doing the bare minimum. But I hope this weekend has showed you that by making some sacrifices and doing something above and beyond, you didn't have to be, well, maybe some of you, your parents made you, or it's like a work release situation or something like that from the jail. For most of you, you didn't have to be here. You chose to be here. And whenever we go above and beyond the bare minimum, whenever we go deeper into our faith, we always get a bigger perspective. We can see the beauty of the church in a very real way. And the deeper we go, the more beautiful this church becomes. So one of the things I want to challenge you guys is that this doesn't stop here, that this isn't it, that we continue to go deeper and we don't just coast. You know, there's a story in the Bible about the Transfiguration. And so Jesus takes three guys. He takes Peter, James, and John and takes them up this mountain. It's a different hiking adventure. I hope they took plenty of water. And up there, Jesus becomes what they call transfigured, which this is not a word that we use. You never be like, hey, my buddy, what really did well in basketball, he was transfigured out there. Like, that's not a word that we use, right? But he explains that he became this bright white that no bleach could ever create. It's amazing, right? Not as amazing as also appearing Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses and Elijah are representing the prophets and the law of the Old Testament. Moses represents the law. Isaiah represents the prophets. And Jesus is the fulfillment of both of those. And so these three disciples are able to see this amazing revelation that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And then this cloud comes over and says, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased, which also happened when Jesus was baptized. Except this time, there's an extra line. Listen to him. They're so excited. Like, they want to build tents. They want this to last forever. But they get scared. And before they know it, everything is gone. Everything is over. And they hike down the mountain. And they go back. They were changed. They had an experience that was amazing. But whenever they went back home to their friends, their family, the other disciples, nothing had changed for them. They were the exact same. Whenever you go home, your friends went to regular Sunday Mass or didn't go to Mass, whatever. And you're going to try to explain this, or maybe you're a little embarrassed about it because you don't know how to explain it. What's going to happen? Are you just going to go back to the old way of doing things? This weekend, the whole theme of Elevate is a chance for you to be elevated, not just for the moment. We want you to be elevated and then continue to elevate. And like your chart needs to keep going up, right? It's not just a bump and then we go back down. It's not even like we start at, sorry, camera, I went a little faster. It's not even like we start at, say you were at a 3, right? And maybe this weekend you jump up to a 7, right? The goal isn't like when we go home, let's get back to 4. Like we made progress there. The goal is to continue to elevate, to continue to go up. And it's harder than it sounds. Because there's lots of temptations to go back to your old ways. When I think of Elevate, I think one of my favorite sporting events. I ran track and never really did field events, but I loved them. But the thing about all of the field events and all of the running events, it's like, okay, I can run, this guy can run faster, somebody can run faster than that. I don't know what the limit is to how fast somebody can run. Yeah, I can throw a shot put, this guy can throw it farther. I don't know what the limit, I don't see, like if somebody's like, oh, somebody can throw the shot put 100 feet. I was like, I don't know, that maybe that's believable. Maybe that's short, that's long. 300 feet, okay, wow, they're very strong, I don't know. Somebody can run a 3-minute mile, that's fast, good. The high jump has always amazed me because people can jump very high. The world record for the high jump right now is over 8 feet. People are not 8 feet tall. That doesn't happen. Hey, can you come up here for a second? No, right behind you. This guy, he looks tall. Yeah. Come up here. I've been watching. How tall are you?
6'4", 6'3".
Okay. That's pretty tall. Can you jump?
No.
Let's see it. Let's see an example, Jared. Jump. Well, that wasn't. Can I get some help from the back? Can we get something out here? I want you to visualize this for a second. There is a human being on this earth that can jump and get their entire body over an 8-foot pole, okay? So, Kenny, what I want you to do, Kenny, do you know how to measure? Okay. Let's just check this here. You go high, I'll go low. Okay, that is exactly 8 feet. That's to the top? Okay. All right, you ready? Jump over it. All right. Good job. Thanks, Kenny. It's ridiculous. I mean, I can't even... The high jump is amazing, and there's one thing that changed the high jump forever. You may know about this. I want to show a video of the history of the high jump. Check this out. In 1968, Dick Fosbury invents the Fosbury Flop, and it revolutionizes high jump forever. And he's also a little awkward. Check this out. All right, so Dick Fosbury was actually a very poor athlete in high school. And people would make fun of him because he was so bad at it. But he comes up with a new technique, and he wins the gold medal in the Olympics. And it became known as the Fosbury Flop. And it's the most ridiculous move in sports. Because you run up to the bar, and at the last minute, you turn around backwards, and you arc back in this very unnatural reverse C arc and go over the bar. But since he figured out that technique, which actually uses physics so that every other technique up before that, this Western roll and scissors kick and everything, all of those, your entire center of gravity, your center of mass had to go over the bar. With the Fosbury Flop, it's crazy. Look it up. Your center of mass actually goes under the bar with the way it works. It's crazy. And so once he discovers this, it changes everything. And every single high jumper eventually adopts this method because it's so much more efficient. You will not go to any serious high jumping competition and see anybody jump over the bar in any way other than the Fosbury Flop, which just even sounds funny. It's called the flop. You know, it's just ridiculous. But once people realized that there was a better way to do this sport, there was no going back. They're like, yeah, that is better, but I kind of like my old way. It's just a little more comfortable. Okay, you're not a serious competitor then. You're not serious about this sport if you want to do the Western roll. If you want to do a straddle, it's not efficient. It's not. You're not a serious athlete. See, guys, once we realize this faith, once we have an experience with God, we have to explore that. We have to go deeper. We can't go back. It doesn't make any sense. If we go back to how things were, then we were never serious about it. Now, some of you haven't had a mountain experience here. You didn't have that experience of the transfiguration. Adoration was not an emotional experience for you. And I want to tell you that the transfiguration involved Jesus and three disciples. Not everybody got to experience that. I have never had an amazing emotional experience at a retreat. I can't look back at my faith journey and said, it was this point that changed everything for me. I just remember really realizing at this point that God was real. I've never cried during adoration. I don't say this because like I'm a tough guy or something like that. I mean, I cry at Despicable Me. Like, I want that. I want this amazing. I want to experience what other people are experiencing. But God works in different ways with different people. And there is not a doubt in my mind. I've been convinced through gradual events, through gradual experiences and conversations with people and spending time in prayer, that I don't have any doubt that the Catholic Church is true. So God can work in different people in different ways in different times. That's okay. The important thing is that we keep going, that we keep going deeper. So I said I ran the 2 mile in high school, and I worked really hard at it, and I set the record at our high school. But if you saw me run today, you would not be impressed. I can't run a 9:32 mile anymore because I haven't continued to practice. I haven't continued to work out. Like, with exercise, as soon as you stop exercise, as soon as you stop lifting weights, you get weaker. As soon as you stop running, you get slower. I used to play trumpet. As soon as I stopped playing, I can't play a scale anymore. I can't do anything on the trumpet anymore. I haven't played since 8th grade. Our faith is the same way. We can't expect, like, we can just coast and we're going to stay where we are. If we're not putting in the effort, then our relationship with God is going to decline. So what are some ways that we can continue this, continue to work on our relationship with God? I want to challenge you in a couple different ways. We actually gave you a card that was passed out a little bit earlier. And it's got some suggestions here. And I want to challenge you to not take these as suggestions, but take it as a challenge, a commitment to do these things, all right? Go to Sunday Mass every Sunday, no exceptions. If you are really, really sick, you don't need to get everybody else at church sick. But otherwise, make that commitment. And if you can, especially this summer, you might have a little bit of extra time in the morning or in the evenings or something like that, check out a daily Mass. This is a great way for us to draw closer. The Mass is the Eucharist. We get to actually consume that. The adoration that was going around here is so amazing. We actually get to put that into our bodies. Not just look at it, but consume it at every Mass. And bringing the real presence of Jesus inside of us is going to help us immensely in all of our temptations, our struggles, and in our relationship with God. The second thing on here is going to confession. And the challenge is go once a month. Now, some of you are going to say, yes, I want to do this. Some of you are going to say, I probably should, but I don't want to do that. Maybe I'll skip this one. We've heard several different times throughout this weekend how going to confession regularly helps keep us on the right path. But here's the deal. If you want to commit to it, put it in your schedule. Put it on your calendar. Make a commitment that, find out when your church is offering confessions or a neighboring church down the road if you don't want to go to your priest, whatever. Make a commitment every first Saturday, I'm going to go over to the church and go to confession, whatever it's going to be. Set an appointment with your priest, whatever you have to do. Prayer. It says 10 minutes a day. I just want to challenge you to add 10 minutes of prayer to whatever you're doing. So if you already are praying some, add 10 more minutes. Like, just take the next step. Once that becomes easy, add another 10 minutes. You know, maybe you do it as 5 minutes in the morning, maybe 5 minutes in the evening. Together it's 10, however you want to do it. Prayer has to be part of our life. Reading scripture. There are all kinds of different ways that we can do this. Reading the readings for the Mass for the day. You can find those on the USCCB website. I'm sure your youth minister could hook you up with some resources. Or get a good Catholic Bible that has like an index in it. That gives you like topics. You can look up the topic. There's all kinds of different ways that you can do that. Maybe a Bible study with some friends or at your church. Participate in your youth group and parish life. Guys, this is so critical. We need community. We need to be a part of our parish. It shouldn't just be a 1 hour on Sunday thing that we do, and then everything else is just me and Jesus. We need to support one another, and we need to be a part of what the church is offering. Make it better. Be a part of it. This is going to be a great source of strength for you. And then speaking of, find an accountability partner. This might be a friend, might be a sibling, might be a youth minister, a priest, somebody that you can keep in touch with. Ideally, this is somebody that you can meet with for coffee or donuts or whatever. If necessary, it could be somebody online or that you talk to over the phone. But somebody that you can share openly with your struggles. Be vulnerable and share, like, this is what I need prayer for. Somebody that can check in you, like, hey, how's that going? That thing with your mom or your sister. We need accountability. We see this in the disciples and the apostles. They were holding each other accountable. And I can see the times in my life where I've had somebody there keeping me accountable, like, skyrocketed my faith on my journey. So we want to challenge you to commit to these things. Commit to doing it. And you can sign on the back, write the date, hang on to this, hang it up on your mirror, whatever. Put it in your wallet, whatever you want to do. Keep a hold of this. And by signing this, that's a sign of your commitment. You know, like if I sign for my credit card or sign for a job application or taxes or you buy a house, you sign like 3 million papers. That's a commitment. I'm committing to a contract. So by signing this, this is your commitment. Like, I am going to do this. Not I want to do this, but I am going to do it. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to make this a priority. Now, if you do or not, nobody will ever know. And this is up to you. And by signing it, it's nothing magical happens. It doesn't make it any easier. You're not, just by signing this, you're not going to get a phone call saying, hey, don't forget, 10 minutes of prayer today. Nobody's going to follow up from Steubenville saying, hey, did you go to confession this month? You signed that paper. This is a commitment between you and God to say, I don't want to decline in my faith. I don't want this to be a mountaintop experience and then I go back down. I want to keep going deeper into my faith so that I can appreciate the beauty more and more and more. And just like the Grand Canyon has a bottom to it and eventually you've seen it all, you come back out, our faith isn't like that though. Our faith is an endless pit. We can always grow in holiness. We always need to be growing in holiness. We need to be exercising all of these things, all of these resources that we have to grow in our faith. So, what direction were you going when you came here? And what direction are you going to go when you go home? C.S. Lewis said, we all want progress, but if you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn and walking back to the right road. In that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive. If you came here and your life was on the wrong road, maybe it was completely the wrong direction, maybe it was just a slight error in calculation, this is your chance to get back on the right path. Where are you going? What are you going back to? What are the things that need to change when you go home? What are the things you need to get rid of? What are the things that you need to bring into your life to make this weekend not just a weekend that was a good experience or a weekend that was fun and challenging, but the weekend that started you in a different direction? How are you going to make that happen? Don't make it just theoretical. Make it concrete. Like, I want you to really think of what you need to do, what you need to change to make that happen. And I want to close with us praying this prayer together. Just an invitation to make this commitment. And then it's up to you if you want to sign this or not. It's up to you if you want to use the graces that will come from this or not.